Well, I'm sure, like me, we have really appreciated all those musical items, and they, of course, don't happen on their own. There's a lot of hard work and graft goes in behind them, so thank you very much for all who has taken part. At the third stroke, it will be 12:30 p.m., and I don't want you getting worried. I'm not going to come here and preach a 45-minute sermon. I'll try to keep it down to 40 minutes today. But we really have enjoyed the program. Like Elizabeth Taylor said to all her husbands, I'll not keep you too long. Just a few thoughts, a little epilogue perhaps, with a tremendous verse that we read together in Matthew's Gospel. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The very kernel, the very center of Christmas. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What's in a name? I know there are some strange names bandied about today, especially when young people have children and their mothers and fathers don't want to let on that they don't really fancy the name, but we have some strange names today, don't we? I remember hearing the story about four gentlemen, and they were sitting around the lunch table, and they were on a job, and they'd just been flown in to do this job on the oil rig, and there was one from England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, of course. And one says to the other, what do you call you? He says, well, you call me Andrew. I'm a Scotchman. I was born on St. Andrew's Day. And the other one says, what do you call you? He says, I'm George. I was born on St. George's Day. And the Welshman says, well, I'm David. I was born on St. David's Day. And of course, they said to the Irishman, what do you call you? He says, Pancake. What's in a name? What's in a name? There were two names mentioned here in Matthew 1, and the name Jesus and the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, as we read together, it's interpreted God with us. And isn't that a tremendous boon for the Christian? That in all the circumstances of life that we go through, like everybody else, it's not a merry-go-round Christianity. It's not a Sunday school trip to glory. In the ups and downs of life, God has promised, I'm with you, God with us. But then when we become a Christian, we are so aware that the Spirit of God takes up residence within us. And we are baptized into the body of Christ. So we can not only say that God is with us, but God is in us. And Paul takes it that little step further when he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So there's a lovely little trio of thoughts for over Christmas time. God with us, God in us, and God for us. And then the other name that was mentioned here, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The New Testament name of the Old Testament name, Joshua, God as Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And here, first of all, we have his unique person, Jesus Christ. I read with sadness a paper through last week. And it was a survey that was taken among young people. And the question was asked to young people in modern day London, who is Jesus Christ? 1 out of 5 thought he played for Chelsea. Isn't that amazing? Others thought he was a contestant on X Factor. And this is the world in which we live in, the UK, the ignorance of people today. Here we have this unique person, Jesus Christ, that so many people don't even know who he is. He was unique, of course, in his birth. He was virgin born, without sin. He was unique in his virtuous life, for he was separate from sinners, born of a woman, not of man. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and that which is conceived in her, is that holy thing within her womb, was conceived by the Spirit of God, not of Joseph. For he didn't know Mary in that sense. So he was unique in his nativity. He was unique in his life. He was unique in his death. For he gave up the ghost. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He was unique in his resurrection. You see, friends, Paul reminds us in Corinthians, does he not? If Christ be not risen from the dead, we are still in our sins, our faith's in vain, our loved ones have perished. And so we need to focus this Christmas time on this unique person, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, it says, He shall, the unfailing promise. He shall save his people from their sins. There's no maybe buts or wants here. He shall save his people. And what Christ promises and what God promises, he will perform. Think of some of his promises in Scripture. I will send another comforter. And he did on the day of Pentecost. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he is. I will come again, and he will. God's promise is true. He shall save his people from their sins. This unique person, this unfailing promise. And then we have the unwavering purpose. He shall save. That is why he has come. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you saved today? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Are you a born-again Christian? You can put whatever label on it you want. Have you the knowledge of sins forgiven? Have you the knowledge that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life as we were talking to the children? Are you assured that when Christ calls in death, that it'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord? Only you can answer that. See, there are many, many people who would profess to be believers, and you know them and I know them, but there's no evidence in their life to show that that's the case. Have you got that assurance of sins forgiven? The unwavering purpose of Christ coming into the world was to save sinners. He shall save his people. His people. This undeserving populace. But before the foundation of the world, God the Father gave unto God the Son an innumerable host, the church, the elect of God. And Christ came and laid down his life for us on the cross. And as the children of Israel left Egypt, not a hoof was left behind. And when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, there'll not be a hoof left behind. Every genuine child of God will be taken to be with himself for all eternity. And we are an undeserving populace. Sinners we were by nature and by practice. But the Spirit of God came to us right to where we were and effectually called us and drew us to Jesus Christ. We are members of the church, blood bought. And finally, he shall save his people from their sins. That's the undeniable problem, isn't it? From their sins. Remember in Sunday school years ago when I was a teacher in Lord Street City Mission Hall and used to give children a wee bit of homework to fill in forms for the next week, and the question was asked to one of the children, what is sin? And he brought it back the next week and he put the answer, doing what I want. So simple, isn't it? But it's so true. It's not doing what God wants, it's doing what I want. It's like old Blue Eyes used to sing, I did it my way. And if it's not my way, it's a highway. You can take off. I don't want to hear about this Christianity, this nonsense about someone, a carpenter of Nazareth born 2,000 years ago, and he can save me and save the world by his death on the cross. That's the world in which we live in. But friend, this is the beginning. This is the first step on the ladder of coming to Christ. It's recognizing the undeniable problem that you have. It's your sin that separates you from God. My father died an alcoholic, 44 years of age. And he denied to his dying breath that he was an alcoholic. And if anyone needs help, they need to own up to the problem that they have. He shall save his people from their sins. Are you here this morning and you're not saved? As we sing in the City Mission, we have room for business, room for pleasure. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. I was in the town yesterday. The wife trailed me in. They trailed me in. This might be my age, but I go dizzy now and wonky in those shops and women pushing you about and the blasting of the music. I say, I'll see you out there. All I do is stand outside shops like a peeler. Tell you the truth. It's crazy. I'm sure you've seen on the television a couple of weeks ago, Black Friday, and they were pushing and shoving for TVs. And this older woman had already two big TVs in her trolley and she was trying to get another one. Why should give Big Daddy a run for his money, let me tell you. And that's the world that we're living in today. The greed and the selfishness and the materialism and the secularism of our modern world and the room for everything else but for Christ. No room in here was the innkeeper's cry in Bethlehem town that night. No room for the infant Jesus. Not a single room was in sight. No comforts of home for the baby. No cradle made of fine wood. He was laid in a lowly manger where once animals had eaten their food. Have you got room this Christmas for the Savior who died for your sin? He's knocking again at your heart's door. Won't you open and let him come in? And perhaps for the first time this Christmas, you'll know what rejoicing's about. Oh, don't be like Bethlehem's innkeeper, keeping the Savior locked out. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Let's sing this lovely praise as